Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
WEEI.com and also doing work for Ness and Bridget. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. I miss you guys.
We miss you too, Bridget. Nice to have you on the show here. I believe this is your maiden voyage on the newly revamped WEEI afternoon show, so we welcome you.
Yes, it is.
So, listen, David Pasternak now, and we know that your comrade there, Scott McLaughlin, had had some reporting on this as well. Did everyone know about this? Was this something you hockey people all knew about and you decided just not to tell anybody, or is this a surprise to you guys too?
Well, it was something that just kind of felt like it went away, like it wasn't going to be a story. So we knew that he missed. He told, in English, he told the Bruins reporters, you know, 3 to 4 weeks he was dealing with an injury, but never actually fully stopped training, just had to kind of modify it to skip certain things. So it didn't really feel like a big story at the time. And now it kind of comes back up only because the play, you see a difference in his play compared to past seasons, and you wonder, did this actually affect his training so much so that his timing is still off?
So do you think this could be described as an excuse?
I don't think he's using it as an excuse. I think maybe it just helps explain what we're seeing, because I don't think Pasternak has tried to use it that way. He's mm-hmm. been pretty accountable for the way that he's been playing so far. But he also made sure to say, because he was asked about it today, that he feels like he's better now. So he was trying to pretty much put it behind him.
What did you think about Montgomery benching him? And do you think that in a time where there's so much heat on the head coach, a move like that was smart or not so smart?
I think it was okay to do. I think it wasn't like Pasternak was playing so well that that it didn't make sense. I think that sometimes you do have to send a message to your best players that they're the ones who need to set the tone. So I don't think it's an issue to bench someone like that. If anything, it makes everyone realize if he does it to somebody like Pasternak, he could easily do it to them too.
Do you believe this Montgomery? Well, first of all, it started as a Montgomery no contract extension, lame duck status was hanging over the team. Now it's, is he going to be fired at any moment? Is that sort of a black cloud hanging over this team and the coach right now?
I think it's still hanging there. Yeah. I think there was right before the Philadelphia game that they ended up winning, I thought he was going to be gone that weekend. Scott and I actually went to a BU hockey game together, and we were ready to have to leave and write a story about it if it happened, because I think that's how close it's come a few times with losses to him losing his job. And you can see the frustration. We had a really tense press conference after the Bruins lost against Ottawa. It was really short. He was kind of just in a bad mood. And I think that is something that everybody kind of feels in the room. Though I will say, because I've heard this asked by a few people, like, has he lost the room? No, I still feel like the players are supportive of him being the coach. I still think they want him to be there. I just think they haven't figured it out.
Yeah, they really haven't, as demonstrated by that third period over the weekend where they didn't put a single shot on Linus Allmark. That to me, Bridget, and you may disagree, but that to me seems like something beyond conditioning, beyond Jim Montgomery. Like this seems like a bigger problem than that. And there's been little things like this over the, I know they only lost the game by one and it did go to overtime, but no shots in the third in a game with your old goalie like that, that seems like a motivating factor type of game. And it just didn't seem to be there. Is the rot bigger than just some conditioning issues or the head coach maybe losing a bit of his grip over the room and things like that? Do you think it's more than that?
I think it's just a big confidence issue. I think it seeps into all of the areas of their game. And then when something goes wrong, it cuts away at their confidence even more. So when they're not successful on the power play, then you see it affect their 5-on-5 play. It affects their offense. And it just kind of seems like a contagious lack of confidence has hurt them really on.
Brad Marchand has had his ups and downs this season, a couple key overtime goals that maybe saved Monty, but probably hasn't played at the level he would like to play at. Do you think that's part of the issues of this team? Do you think he could be getting old and sort of on the backside of it now? Like, what's your takeaway on the way Brad Marchand's played to start the year?
I don't think he looks old. I don't think he looks like he's completely slowed down. I think he's still, you know, he's on the later side of his career for sure. And he's in the last year of his contract as well. In terms of what he could be doing differently, I think he started to look better recently, started to get more shots on goal, but he's supposed to be the kind of guy that motivates guys in the locker room. And so that's really important as the captain for him to keep doing that. He's somebody that holds people accountable, and he's somebody that leads by example too. So obviously you're a leader on the team. Sometimes you get blamed when the confidence isn't there, when the pace isn't there, because you're supposed to set an example. And so he's going to have to continue to do that.
Don Sweeney's offseason, I think, is one that most fans were happy with. And I think most of the people who cover the team were enthusiastic about some of the pickups that were made in Zadorov and Lindholm and what have you. Some of the other guys who are in Providence now, too, the other forwards. But it does seem like these guys, whether they're not a good fit or they haven't quite found the chemistry yet, or in some cases maybe just aren't quick enough to be out there, it seems like sometimes. What do you think now, 14, 15 games in, has your opinion or at all changed on Sweeney's offseason, or was it ever really that high?
It was much.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Tire, I would say, than what they've been playing to right now. It's kind of funny. We, for the podcast that we have, me and Scott, we had these preseason predictions, and we had like our bold predictions, and all of them look really bad right now because we thought that those guys were going to do more. Like, one of my bold predictions for this season was that the Lindholm, Zacha, Pasternak line was going to be one of the top five lines in the NHL, and they're not even a line anymore because they didn't play that well together. And so I think the chemistry still needs to get built with Elias Lindholm, and there's certainly he's not the only one to blame in the offense and the power play for things not going right so far. But yeah, I thought that he would mesh better with Pasternak. Maybe they both were dealing with preseason injuries that stopped them from being able to create the chemistry. And then Nikita Zadorov, I think he's been kind of frustrating so far in his first, you know, chunk of games with the Bruins. I think he's looked behind the play. I think he's looked like he doesn't always make the best decisions. So even though those two guys were probably the two best available players for the Bruins to get, they needed a center. They needed a top line center. They needed a big defenseman to try to help counter the Florida Panthers. So far, it hasn't panned out. But if you make the playoffs and those guys can do what you need them to do in the playoffs, then pretty much all is forgiven.
So if I asked you if you could come up with a three-step plan to fix what ails the Bruins right now, putting you on the spot, would you have three steps at the top of your list?
Thank you for putting me on the spot, Andy. to fix the Bruins malaise, as Coach Montgomery put it the other day.
Yep.
Well, first of all, I definitely know what number one is. And number one is just get more pucks in the net. I know that sounds like the cliche.
I like this is going.
Good start.
But you, especially from the point, like, you've got to get shots through from the point. You've got to allow guys to go to work on rebounds. Just get the puck to the net, kind of create more chaos, because it feels like they're stagnant in the offensive zone. It feels like they're doing a lot of passing and not moving their feet, but just moving the puck. They need to get more movement in their offense. They also need to get more shots on goal. That's first of all, that's the first and foremost thing they need to do. I don't know if I got another two that can come in and help, because that's just the really important one.
Okay.
Is Sweeney skating, no pun intended, but is he skating sorry, I didn't know how else to say it. But is he avoiding blame for this right now? Do you think he should be, or that he is at this point, and that it's the right sort of slice of blame pie getting cut out here?
If he ends up firing Montgomery, like, obviously that's one of the first steps you take to kind of cover your own trail, right? Try to change that before anything gets done to your position. I personally, I don't blame him for the off-season acquisitions. I don't think he did a bad job. Like, I think the Swayman contract obviously was drawn out, but he ends up getting it done. So that's a good thing for Sweeney. Like, I think he's done a lot of the right things, and on the ice, it's not working out so far. I think he needs to continue to to work through that. I don't think he deserves as much of the blame as the players are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Coach and coaching staff is number two, and I would put Sweeney third. And guys, I mean, he sent Matt Potcher down today. That was a Sweeney decision. And I know some people aren't happy with it. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, but that's one of the other moves he made recently.
Who's not happy with it?
I mean, the internet, Bruins fans.
Oh.
Potcher's a likable player. So I saw some backlash about that today.
Are you not happy about it? Do you think that was the right move?
I'm 50-50 with it because I like him as a player. I think he's one of the more creative guys on the team. His 5-on-5 numbers have been decent, but he does only have one goal in his 14 games played, and it was against a bad Flyers team. So I think he could develop more in Providence. I don't think it's a huge deal, but I think that also the lineup had very few guys that were creating offense as it is. So it feels like taking that piece away might hurt the team.
So just to circle back around where we started, you said there were multiple times where you thought that was the day that Montgomery was going to be fired. Do you think, how long can this go on where people like you that are insiders that are there every day are thinking this is the day he's canned? How does this play out?
Well, I think the good news for him is if the Bruins can take advantage of some of the weaker opponents that they have on their upcoming schedule, including tonight against St. Louis, like if they can get some wins over those easy teams, then he's probably safe. And the Bruins will be in playoff position come, the Thanksgiving unofficial deadline. And
yep.
And that will correct the ship. But if they lose to those bad teams, you can be pretty much certain that he's gone.
What would you guess the overall attitude towards Jeremy Swayman is within the organization right now? Buyer's remorse, anything like that? I mean, he hasn't been great. Certainly not living up to the contract so far. Any sort of animosity there, do you think?
I don't think so. But it is funny. We don't talk about Swayman a lot this season. I feel like he took up so much of the storylines in the offseason, and him and Ullmark last year were fan favorites. And I feel like maybe he's a little bit more under the radar now. Maybe he's not quite as well received after the negotiations. And certainly he set himself up to have a slower start to the season by not being able to attend any training camp. So, but I don't feel that the backlash within the team, I mean, he's still good buddies with pretty much everyone. I still think that the coaches are confident in him. Everybody's still confident in him, but it definitely isn't the best hockey that he's played over the last few seasons. And maybe that comes down to the missing training camp as well.
Based on your predictions on your podcast, which were optimistic, I'm going to guess you didn't.
And wrong.
And wrong. It happens. Hey, I said the Patriots might go 0-17. They got 3 wins already. So it happens to the best of us. We're wrong. I was close. You were close.
I said the Patriots could beat the Niners this year.
Yeah. So we're all wrong. It's one group of wrong here on the radio here at WEEI.
That's what the W stands for.
Did you see anything? Because you have Monty admitting, yeah, we thought being out of shape was an issue in training camp. Did you see anything weird in training camp? Did he change anything in the way he ran things? Did you see anything in the way the players acted that led you to believe a coach and a team that normally gets off to a hot start would get off to a horrific start?
Well, yeah, the pace wasn't there. But in the time, because I went to pretty much every day of training camp,
yep.
At the time I wasn't as concerned about it because you're like, okay, they're ramping up, it's not going to look like game speed, but certainly it should have been game speed because now they're at this slower pace to start the season, whereas if they had more intense training camp, then maybe they wouldn't be in this situation. But for sure, it was maybe like 75% speed compared to needing to be at 100%. And also, some guys didn't play very much at all in training camp. Like Charlie Coyle, we're still not sure. Maybe he was dealing with something because he only got into one preseason game towards the end. And obviously Elias Lindholm was dealing with an injury that kept him out of a lot of the preseason. So there were guys that didn't get in and didn't get full reps, and definitely they weren't going at full speed. So I think it did affect their season.
That is the voice.
And obviously that's on the coach.
Excuse me, I jumped in there too early.
Come
that is
on
the voice
now.
Of Bridget Prue, a Bruins writer here at WEEI, co-host of the Skate Pod and Sunday Skate, which begins after football season's over. I know I'm missing something. You do play-by-play for Hockey East and the Boston Fleet, right? Did I get everything? Did I miss something?
I think you got most of it.
Okay, there you go. Bridget Prue, very busy lady. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.